Nehemiah chapter 4 verses 6 to 14, and that's on page 487 in the Red Church Bibles. 487, Nehemiah chapter 4 verses 6 to 14. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the labourers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." Also, our enemies said, "Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them, and we will kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes."
We could have the, that's it, that's fine. Welcome everyone, and thanks John for leading us so far. Have you noticed it always seems easier to start something than it is to finish it? It could be college courses, could be construction projects around the home, could be fitness goals. It always seems to be easier to make a commitment than keep a commitment. Have you noticed that it's always it's easier to get into debt than to out of debt? It's easier to fill a diary or a schedule than fulfill a diary or a schedule. It seems it's easier to start a project than to finish a project. And life's a little bit like a marathon, not having read followed a marathon myself, but watching it, as time goes by, it's harder to cross the finish line due to setbacks along the way that may almost leave us defeated. At the start of the marathons, you can see that everybody's all crowded together. They're all at the starting line. It's jam-packed. There's loads of people. Then as the race progresses, as the marathon progresses, they thin out, and the space between the runners gets greater as the people are set back, as they're slowing down. So the marathon is not easy, and life's not easy. But our setbacks as believers are actually part of the character building process by God. God wants to make me and you like Jesus. We need to learn through experience and things of in the broken world that we're in, and it's not easy. It's learning. It's building our character by God and making us more like Jesus. So we all have setbacks, but the great enemy of spiritual maturity is discouragement. Discouragement can be paralyzing, can knock us off track. And discouragement is common. It's powerful, can be paralyzing. It's universal. All are affected by discouragement, and it's recurring. So it doesn't just happen once. You're going to be discouraged, and you're going to be discouraged multiple times in your life. And indeed, some may be here this morning feeling discouraged about something in your life. And so today's passage is tells us in Nehemiah about the causes and the cures for discouragement. Tells us what to do when we feel like giving up. So it's a really good passage to read and study if you're discouraged this morning. But it's really good to look at the causes of discouragement and the cures. So we're going to look at the passage that John read to us. But just before we do that, the context, as I'm sure you're aware, is that the Jews, God's people, had had 70 years in captivity in Babylon. So they were taken out of Jerusalem and in captivity to Babylon. And they were there 70 years, and that was the time of Daniel. But the Jews, the captives, were allowed to return to their capital city of Jerusalem 70 years later. And they got back, and what did they find? They found ruins. They found a mess. Everything had been sort of flattened. Real mess, rubble everywhere. So before rebuilding the city, the homes, they needed to rebuild the city wall around the city for protection, because the wall had been torn down. And indeed, if you go to Jerusalem now, you can still see bits of the wall lying around, huge lumps of rock and stone, but they've obviously rebuilt it a number of times. But when they built the wall, they could build everything else, because that would have given them protection. So in Nehemiah, it tells us that everyone worked really hard at the start. They quickly rebuilt the wall to half its original height. And you know, once all the people were back in Jerusalem, they quickly rebuilt the wall to half its original height. But then the initial enthusiasm wore off, and they all got discouraged. And because of the four common causes of discouragement, and you may, we're going to go through those now, and you may see these causes in your life. You may have experienced them. They're the sort of four common causes. So let's just read Nehemiah 4, 6 to 12, the initial bit of the reading, to look at these four common causes of discouragement. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead, and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." Also, our enemies said, "Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them, and we will kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. So, first off, when did the discouragement set in? Well, in verse 6, it said, so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height. So half its original height, at the halfway point, the discouragement has set in. So it's a little bit like climbing a mountain or a hill. The hardest point seems to be halfway up. You're worn out going up the first half, and you look up, and every turn the top seems a little bit further away. You've exerted, and then you realise, I've still got the same to go again. I'm worn out already, and then I've got to come back down again. So the halfway point, really discouraging. Or it could be like rowing a boat across a huge lake. You get to the middle point, you can't really see where you've come from, you can't really see where you're going, you're in that middle point, you're halfway there, it's really discouraging. I'm discouraged from carrying on rowing. Or you're painting a room, you're halfway through, you still got to do the other half, and then you've got to tidy up. It's discouraging. You think, shall I carry on? Or reading a book, a really big thick book. It's hard going. You're halfway through. It's really hard. I'm discouraged. I think I might give up. I mean, it could be you're halfway through a career. You could be halfway through your marriage. It could be, and we call those things a midlife crisis, don't we? Midlife crisis. So it could be in little things, it could be in big things. We get discouraged. And these Jews were halfway through building the wall and they were discouraged. So we get discouraged when something takes longer than expected and when tiredness and fatigue sets in. In verse 10 says, verse 10 of chapter 4, it says, meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the labourers is given out, and there's so much rubble, we cannot rebuild the wall. So the strength of the labourers is given out. It's causing discouragement, fatigue. So you may have been through this week, you may have said, oh, I'm really whacked out. I can't keep this pace up. I'm worn out, run out of energy, not had enough sleep, can't think straight, I'm ineffective, I'm worthless, I'm not getting enough sleep. A study of 13 countries recently found that those living in the UK are the most exhausted. A third of Britons, so that's about 20 million, are not getting enough sleep, physically and emotionally exhausted. And that leads to discouragement. Things always look better after a good night's sleep, don't they? And if you don't get your rest, you're going to get discouraged. God was very clear in his manual for life. 6 days and take a day off. Have some rest. You go against his design, then you shouldn't be surprised. Farmers rotate their crops. We have the fallow year or resting fields, and they produce a greater harvest. And even science, Frederick Taylor in 1893, I often quote this now at work after this study, a scientific study in steel mills in America in 1893, he found that people accomplish more if they take regular breaks. Regular rest breaks. I mean, he's only repeating what God says. But coffee and lunch breaks. At work, we asked everybody, how many people are having a lunch break? And there was nobody has a lunch break. Just work through. You know, they munch at their desk. People are tired, and I think you may have heard me say this before, our best requires rest. When we're tired, we're more vulnerable to all kinds of things, including almost attacks from other people, criticisms, let's say. It affects you more when you're tired. When you're rested, it doesn't seem to affect you so much. When you're tired, it gets to you. Now, In Deuteronomy, which is Moses going through the law and actually repeating the law and remembering things, in Deuteronomy 25, verse 18, in verse 17, he says, remember the Amalekites. And he says, when you were weary and worn out, they met you on your journey and attacked all who were lagging behind. When you're tired, you're being set up for attack. You're being set up for temptation or discouragement. Fatigue makes you vulnerable. It makes you discouraged. So you just need to be aware. So the first cause of discouragement is fatigue. Now, something is more complicated than expected. It's harder than you think. That gives you frustration. So fatigue causes discouragement. Things take longer. But also, when things are more complicated, harder, that gives frustration, which causes discouragement. Have you, there'll be a wry smile on Heather's face, have you ever cleared out a cupboard, all your files, and you get everything out, and it's just hard work. It's harder than you thought it was going to be. You've got to make loads of decisions about what you chuck out, or, oh no, I need to keep that. It's just hard work. And you get discouraged and you put it all back away because you can't go through it. Because it's harder than you thought it was going to be. I thought it was just going to get out of the cupboard and clear stuff out. But no, it's complicated. I've got too many decisions. It's frustrating. So I just chuck it all back into the cupboard. If you're remodeling a house, you're doing an extension or having some building work, you get a skip and you think, my goodness me, where's all that rubbish come from? It just seems to go, poof. You get loads of rubble. You get loads of rubbish in the skip. Anytime you have a building project or even a hobby or a career or a family, you have loads of rubbish. Loads of debris, loads of junk lying around. But that's frustrating. It makes things more complicated. Rubble lying around, it causes discouragement. It makes things harder work. It causes tripping you up. So the sort of second form of discouragement is frustration. And in verse 10... meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the labourers is given out, so there's fatigue, and there's so much rubble that we can't rebuild the wall. It's all in the way. We're discouraged by the rock lying around. It's tripping us up. It's, you know, where it's from the walls that have been torn down previously, but it's all over the place. It's just really difficult. It's making it harder work. It's really frustrating. It's causing us discouragement. Because there's so much rubble, so much rubbish lying around. Now, you have rubble in your life, if you like. You have stuff that's complicating it, getting in the way, tripping you up. This rubble. It can be, material rubble. You have too many things that's complicating it. So we need to sort of simplify. You may have emotional rubble. May have relationship rubble, things lying around causing you to trip up, debris. Now, four rules about rubble, okay? This sort of rubble that we're talking about. Rubble or rubbish is part of life. You can't avoid it. Stuff piles up in your life, especially if you don't deal with it. The bigger the pile, the more frustrating the rubbish. So you're fatigued by work, you get tired at work, but you're also frustrated by this rubble that's all around. So the second rule is you need to clear it out. We have to put the rubbish out every week. You need to get rid of your rubble, your rubbish. You need to get rid of your emotional rubble. You need to deal with it by confessing to God. You need to clear it out. And the third rule is, if you don't deal with it, it'll take over. So rubbish multiplies. Have you ever noticed that? Put a couple of dishes in the sink, and before you know it, there's more dishes in the sink. You leave your clothes lying around in your bedroom sometimes. And it just increases. The pile increases. You leave a rubbish bag, you put some rubbish out in the street, and it attracts rubbish. If you don't deal with it, it just piles up and it becomes more frustrating. And the fourth sort of principle about rubble is that you don't always recognise what rubble is in your life. Others do. Other people can often see the stuff in your life that you've allowed to stay there, that's holding you back, that's hindering you. So you're so used to living with it that you don't realise it's rubble. You need to clear it up out of your life. It might be mental or physical rubble. It might be spiritual or emotional rubble. You need to clear it out. It may be relationships, activities, bad thoughts, bad attitudes. So I suppose the question is, in your life, what is the rubble in your life? What is hindering or frustrating you? What's wasting your time? So these Jews, they wanted to finish the wall, but the rubble, the stuff that's tripping you up, that's keeping you from doing your tasks, you need to tell God about that rubble in your life and ask for help for dealing with it. David, look at my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. So if you're feeling distressed, the rubble needs to be dealt with, needs to be removed. So the third cause of discouragement, if you like, is you start to doubt your own ability. You have a sense of failure. So fatigue can cause discouragement, frustration when something's more complicated or it's got rubble in the way, that causes discouragement, but also a sense of failure. Starting to get serious now causes discouragement. If you look at verse 10, and you see what's happened there, it says the strength of the labourers is giving out the fatigue, and there's so much rubble, it's complicated, it's frustration, that we cannot rebuild the wall. We cannot rebuild the wall. So what's happened? They've already built half of it. They've lost their confidence. They've got self-doubt. We can't rebuild the wall. They've got self-doubt. Why did we even start this task? Do you ever ask that question? Why did I even take this job? Why did I start this project? I'm a failure. I'm losing heart. I'm getting discouraged. So I suppose need to question, don't we, how do we handle failure when plans collapse, when they take longer than we thought, when they're more complicated than we thought, and then we doubt our ability to do it? What do you do? Do you give in? Do you have self-pity? Do you start complaining? Do you blame others? Well, if at first you don't succeed, then you're normal. This is all about learning about spiritual resilience and trusting in God. So those three causes of discouragement, but these guys here, they also feel like giving up when the opposition grows stronger. The enemies in and around Jerusalem, they moved in when the Jews were taken into captivity, and the Arabs and Sanballat and Tobiah, etc., they didn't want them back. They didn't want them to rebuild the wall. They didn't want them to rebuild the city. They opposed them. They liked it all there. They didn't want the Jews back. And so they opposed them, and that caused the Jews to have fear. They were fearful. So we've got fatigue, tiredness causes discouragement, frustration from tasks that are complicated or projects are complicated or rubble causes discouragement. A sense of failure causes discouragement, and then fear causes discouragement. That would discourage anyone, wouldn't it? The fear. So these enemy tribes had a number of tactics. If we read verses 1-3, it says, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, what they are building, even a fox climbing on it would break down their walls of stone. So you can see what these enemy tribes are doing, their tactics. They're criticizing the builders. You can't do this. And nobody likes that, do they, when somebody criticizes you? They ridicule the builders, the Jews. Ridicule them. Nobody likes that. We don't like that, do they? When people take the mickey out of us, ridicule us. And then they threaten them. If we look at verse 11, also our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and we'll kill them and put an end to their work. I mean, that's pretty legitimate reason to be discouraged. We might die. That's pretty discouraging. I can totally understand that. So, that fear is a massive cause of discouragement. But if you look in verse 12, who got discouraged first? When the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. So those who got discouraged first were those who were listening to the enemy. In fact, they were listening to the wrong people. They're listening to the world and they weren't listening to God. They didn't believe in God. They didn't believe God. They were listening to the wrong people. They lived close to enemies, and so were listening to them. And the power of repetition. It says 10 times we will attack you. Constant grinding down repetition. But they were listening to that repetition. Yeah, I suppose from that, if you're discouraged and you keep hanging out with negative people, you keep listening to negative people, you keep listening to negative talk radio, I suppose, or negative media, it starts to inject fear into you, and you need to avoid it. You need to avoid filling your mind with negative words, because you will become fearful. You will become full of fear. So the question for us is, what secret fear is causing you to be discouraged? Okay? We've all got our secret fears. So is it a fear of criticism? Is it a fear of embarrassment causes you to hesitate? Have you got a fear that you have to be perfect? Have you got a fear that no one will love you if they knew the real you inside? Do you have a fear of, or you can't handle the pressure? So these are questions for us. The fatigue causes discouragement. Frustration, complicated, and the rubble causes discouragement. A sense of failure, starting to get a sense of failure, causes discouragement. And fear lines up to cause discouragement. Okay, so they're the causes of discouragement, the common causes of discouragement. But what is God's cure? When you feel discouraged, you feel like giving up from some of these reasons, where do you find the strength and the motivation to carry on and to finish what God has started? Well, the Bible says in Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So how do I keep on going when I feel like giving up? Well, the three things that Nehemiah did when he led his people to finish the wall, and we need to do the same. The first thing, if you notice, is he reorganized. He reorganized what was not working. So it may be something in your life, you're doing the right thing, but it's not in the best way. It's not working. So building the wall was the right thing, but it wasn't working. They were discouraged. So reorganizing the way we do it, doing it differently, addressing the discouragement by doing it differently. If we read verse 13, therefore I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears and bows. Okay, so we have an enemy who wants to attack us, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to change the way we're doing things. We're going to reorganize. We're going to post people at the lowest points and we're going to post them with the families. Also, verse 16, from that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah. So, half are going to do the work and half are going to be guards, ready. So, devised a new strategy, a new plan. So, being discouraged doesn't mean to say we're doing the wrong thing. But, yes, we've got to build the wall, but we've got to do it in a different way. We mustn't give up. We've just got to do it in a different way. We need to change the way we are doing this plan. And that's where the plans come up. We don't want to give up. So do you need to change the way we're doing stuff? Do we need to reorganize some of the stuff that we're getting discouraged about? Do I need to reorganize my diary? Do I need to change, reorganize the way I relate to people? Could be a bit more personal. Do I, I'm in debt. Do I need to reorganize my budget? I'm a bit overweight. Do I need to reorganize my lifestyle, my eating patterns? Do I need to remove the clutter, the rubble that's tripping me up? Do I need to reorganize? Do I need to reorganize whatever is not working? If you notice in verse 13, therefore I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families. So he posted the guards, as it were, by families. He made sure they had support. So what is your support? What is your support group? One reason you may be discouraged is because you're trying to do and handle everything by yourself. You need a support group. This cracking verse, it's come up a number of times in Bible studies just very recently. Hebrews 4, 24 and 25. If you were ever going to memorize a couple of verses. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but are encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. But let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. We need to keep on encouraging one another. So, question now, in your mind, who are you encouraging? Okay, you need to question that. And who is encouraging you? You need a support group, a Bible study group, church here. But who are you encouraging and who is encouraging you? those Jews, the guards, were posted by groups, by family. We need to join churches, join the church, commit to the church and the study groups. So, reorganize whatever is not working and get support. Make sure you've got a support group. So, the second cure for discouragement was refocus on God. If we read verse 14, after I'd looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. If you were going to underline something, that would be the thing. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. So, remember the Lord. He was saying here, you know what? You've been so busy working for God that you've forgotten God. You've forgotten God's work in you. Needed to refocus on God, recommit to God, refocus and draw on the spiritual resources, but refocus on God. There's a verse in 1 Samuel about David. David got greatly distressed. Don't need to know why. He was just really greatly distressed. But David found strength in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He didn't encourage himself or get his strength by eating or watching TV or playing or whatever. He got his encouragement and his strength in the Lord. How? He remembered the Lord. An important thing about communion, remembering the Lord. But here, he was distressed, greatly distressed, and he was encouraged and found strength in the Lord, his God. When we're discouraged, we need to remember the Lord, God. We need to remember God's goodness to me in the past. It's just, well, God's done it already before. God's closeness to me in the present and God's power for me in the future. So to get my mind off of discouraging circumstances, I need to be thinking about God's goodness, his closeness and God's power. Now, thoughts determine your feelings. Discouragement is a feeling. If you want to change your feelings, you need to change what you think about. Easier said than done, but it's all about your thoughts. Now, if you think of we heard about Job earlier on, and another person who had a little bit of a crisis was Jonah. He was stuck in a big fish, thinking, "Hang on a minute, I'm going to die here." And Jonah 2:7 says, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you. So when you're losing all hope, we need to turn our thoughts to the Lord. We need to do that. Now, also in Psalms, when my soul is weary with sorrow, strengthen me according to your word. I'm completely discouraged, so revive me, strengthen me with your word. The word, God's word, refreshes, revives, restores, rebuilds. So do I spend more time on social media than the word of God? The word of God refreshes, revives, restores, rebuilds. It strengthens me. So, the two cures for discouragement so far, reorganize and refocus on God. Now the third one that Nehemiah tells them to do is to resist discouragement. Need to fight it, not give in to it. For verse 14, says here, after I looked things over and I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome and fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives and your homes. Need to fight for your brothers and your homes. These were people who wanted to give up. And they needed to fight for their homes. Don't give in without a fight. We're in a spiritual battleground. It's a spiritual warfare every day. So we're not in a playground. We're in a battleground. And we're called to engage in that spiritual battle every day. Ultimately, as John said earlier, it's won. There's already been a victory. But there are battles every day. And that battle is in a supernatural struggle. The Satan is called the accuser of believers. And he's accusing you every day. Satan loves to neutralize your effectiveness by discouraging you. Satan's favorite weapons, there's two of them. Distraction, get you off track, off your focus, and discouragement. But James says quite clearly, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Those simple words, but boy, is that hard. We're at war with negative forces, and they keep us from developing our potential for God. Really, they discourage us. And so if discouraged, we need to resist those thoughts, not listen to those discouraging thoughts, and choose not to give up, to keep on keeping on. It's that choice. So the cures for discouragement, reorganize, refocus, and resist, to choose to resist. So if we're feeling down, discouraged, which of those four causes that we went through earlier are your cause for discouragement? And what do we do? Those causes of discouragement. So fatigue, if that's for you, then maybe you just need to get some rest. If it's the frustration, then maybe you need to get rid of the rubble and reorganize. If it's you're feeling a sense of failure, you need to remember the Lord. You need to refocus. God loves you unconditionally. He can't love you any more and he can't love you any less. He forgives you. He loves you unconditionally, which is quite amazing. So remember the Lord. And fear, if fear is discouraging you, we need to resist the discouragement, resist the devil and fight. That real sense of fight for your family, for your future, for your career, for your homes, fight the discouragement. I think it'd be really good now just to respond to those things that we've learned from Nehemiah, the causes of discouragement and the cures of discouragement, and let's pray. And as we pray, you will be thinking about the things in your life that are causing your discouragement and the things that perhaps we should consider doing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is encouraging. We thank you that it restores and revives us. And this morning, as we've been looking at Nehemiah and discouragement, many people here are maybe discouraged. They may be, and we know we get discouraged through fear and the sense of failure and frustration and fatigue and tired. Lord, we want to refocus on you. We want to strength to reorganize what we need to. We don't want to give up what we're doing, but we just want help and encouragement to do that, and if necessary, reorganize in a slightly different way. So, Lord, we don't want to be frustrated. We don't want to be fatigued. Help us, Lord, to rest. We don't want to feel a failure, and we know that you love us unconditionally, Lord, and that's just amazing. Lord, help us to clear out the rubble in our lives, to see what that rubble is, what's tripping us up. Give us the strength to resist discouragement, to fight for our families, our spiritual family, for our future, the daily battles. Give us the strength to resist the devil and discouragement, and not give in to negative thoughts. Heavenly Father, help us as we go each our own way, Lord, to think on those causes of discouragement, but also the cures, and help us to carry out those works with your help, Lord. Amen.